tonight. Always a pleasure to have him here. You know, he's always throws these spanners at you all the time, and he's got a good one tonight. So Prof. Gary's coming through and just going to bring that controversy hammer here. As you know, it's an interactive show on air at mixfm.co.za if you want to do the email, comment, or feedback. If you got a smartphone, you got a buck and a half. And no, money doesn't get any more of that money either. So it's a buck and a half, 41348. You can send in your comments and questions and issues for Prof. Gary, Monty, or myself. Everybody complains about the bureaucracy and the amount of time and effort it takes to set up a business. So we go through all this stuff, and I mean, Prof's going to kind of expand on that, but between regulations and labor laws and, oh God, all the stuff that comes through, it makes it very difficult. And I hope Prof's got some stats on that. But I know that in Canada and New Zealand, it takes just inside of 90 hours, it's about 3 days, from start to actually end up at the end of that 90 days with a registered business that you can start trading. In that little journey, if you have done a website or got the name of the domain and everything, that is also in there. So imagine in 3 days, all the papers that you've got signed and sealed, and you've got your domain name registered, and you're happy with the tax people and everything else, and then you're done. You can start. I mean, 3 days. How easy is that? One of the things I did notice in doing that was that I only had to sign and put my details once. In the techno world, we call that single sign-on. In other words, you can... Well, let me correct myself a little bit. But it's where you enter all of your details once. That information then follows you from department to department, so you don't have to keep filling out all these forms and da-da-da-da-da. There is an electronic passage, a natural electronic passage of your document, and kind of gets electronically stamped all along the way. I believe that that has a long way to getting things done faster. Instead of trying to move the paper, we move the information. So, yeah, I think we need to do that. But, you know, talk to us. Tell us what your views on are we suffering from too much bureaucracy to get these things done? Are entrepreneurs creating jobs? Prof, come in here. Tell us what you think.
Good evening, Al, listeners. You're so right. A couple of years ago, I visited Georgia, the one in Europe, and I set up a company in 2 days flat.
Oh, geez.
Now,
2 days.
Now, some of my customers are waiting more than 4 months just to register their PTY Limited. I mean, that is totally unacceptable.
But have you found out what the issue is there when it comes to that? What is it?
CIPC, the registrar yeah. of companies, always has an excuse. It's a new system and this and that. We never really get the answers right. So, yes, we have to suffer with trying to set up a company, and that
is
totally
no other way
irrelevant.
Is there no,
well, what I suggest to a lot of people is, why don't, if you start up a business, why don't you start it off as a sole proprietor? I know there's some dangers in that because all your assets, your personal assets also are part of that business. But you know what? It's an easy way to set up, no registration necessary. And as soon as the business picks up and it's working, then go through the motions and set up a PTY Limited.
Oh, now you bring this little jewel of information. So just go into a little bit more detail. And the reason I'm asking is that I've been going through and meeting a lot of people. Just all of a sudden, a lot of people are coming and asking for information. And what I'm finding is that there's a lot of people who don't know about any of this stuff. And what they want to do is they've gotten some kind of product line, or they sell some kind of food or, you know, service or that kind of thing. And what they're saying is they want to try it first to see how it works, and they don't want to go through all of this and spend all this money. They just want to give it a try. And if it does seems to be successful, there is customers for their particular product or service, then they're willing to kind of invest more money and do all this kind of stuff. So what you just mentioned is incredible, that they can kind of test before you buy, almost, type of thing?
Yeah. That's what I suggest to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know why you want to go through the motions, and maybe that the idea does not work well. And then you're stuck, and you set up as a company, and the next thing CIPC asks you is to fill in an annual return and pay some money. And and you're not even running the business. Deactivating or deregistering your business is also not that easy. So start off as a sole proprietor.
Okay, now is there a form somewhere that needs to be filled out for that one?
As a sole proprietor. No, not at all. Not at all. So you just start your business, register. I believe registering an internet domain is more important than the CIPC registration because customers must find you easily. So start off with your website.
Yeah.
Start running the business.
Yeah.
And I always find it very amazing that if I ask people, have you started a business? They say, yes, I've started the business. I've got a PTY Limited.
Mm.
Now, that is not a business.
That's a huge thing, that.
I believe that when is a business a business?
Mm.
When you have your first client paying you. I think that first income, whether it's 5 Rand or 100 Rand, doesn't matter the amount. But once you've had your first sale, then you're really in business.
Okay. Somebody's actually paying you for something that you got.
Yeah. So I think forget the red tape a bit. Our government is trying their damnedest to promote entrepreneurship, but I think they're going the wrong way. They just want to add more red tape, more registration.
Well, you know, governments generally, they kind of can't exist if they don't have paper and all that kind of stuff. That's what makes them run.
That's true, but if with our high unemployment rates, what do you think the government's going to do?
No, it's
you know, they put a lot of hope in entrepreneurs, and another debate that I've had is that many people believe that entrepreneurs want to employ people. They start a business so that they can employ people. I think that's total rubbish. I think an entrepreneur starts a business for the sole reason to make money.
Hmm.
And the less people, the less expenses, the more profit for the owner or the entrepreneur.
I think, you know, you're absolutely right. I think that in an entrepreneur's mind is that after he's made a lot of money, let me backtrack. It's not that after he's made a lot of money, but there comes, as we call it, a milestone where he is so busy that he now needs to take on extra people to help. A PA, for example, or another, let's say he fixes cars or that type of thing, then he's going to, you know, the volume of his business has become so big that in order for him to be able to handle these extra customers or extra orders, he needs to find extra help. So that's that point of creating jobs.
Of course, that's
jobs.
Leveraging your business.
Yeah, that's right. But he's got to get to that point first. Right? He's not going to employ people until he gets to that point first, what he knows he can afford them. Yeah.
There's so many entrepreneurs struggling right now with the current economic situation that I think they can't really afford to appoint a lot of people.
You meet hundreds of people, hundreds of entrepreneurs. What do you think is the main issue for them? Why are they still in kind of survival mode? Why are they struggling?
There would be a multitude of reasons for that.
Yeah.
I think one of them is they're not thinking big enough, first of all. I think it's a mindset problem as well, that they believe that they should be a small business. You mentioned the other day that there's no real thing as a small business. It's really business.
It's business, yeah.
Whether it's small or big. But I think if your mindset is right, if you think bigger, dream bigger, as Donald Trump once said, you know, if you're going to think big, you know, you're doing it anyway.
That's right.
So go all the way. That's one of the things. The other thing is a lack of knowledge and experience. There's another debate about is an entrepreneur born or can you be taught to be an entrepreneur? Now, that's a discussion for another day.
Yes, that's a...
But I think certain entrepreneurial characteristics are you can't just teach people.
Mm.
You know, that initiative, that scanning the environment for new business opportunities and grabbing that opportunity. Not many people can do that.
I mean, you have to look at policy. You have to look at kind of where the country is going or where your particular area is going and look for gaps that way. I think that's maybe why people would open up a camera store or whatever. But here's an example. I mean, if you look at all the companies that are offering video on demand, there's DSTV and all the other major Times Media, the different types of media houses. All of a sudden, we have a huge choice. Telkom is also in there. So all of a sudden, we've got like six different choices of video on demand, and never mind the overseas one like Netflix, which is incredibly popular here in South Africa. So what Prof just mentioned about scanning the environment, is it the right time to open up a video store? I would say no, it's not, because people are now from the comfort of their own home without having to go out into the rain or whatever else, travel to the video store to pick up a video. They can just pick it up on their TV. So it's important to get a perspective on what's happening, follow trends, that type of thing. I think it was either Richard Branson or Warren Buffett who said, you know, you actually start with the end in mind first. Look at where you're going. And as Prof again said, that you're going for that big picture. So if you want to be the only so-and-so type of service provider in South Africa, you start there and work backwards and say, okay, if I want to do that, this is where I need to be. These are the steps I need to take. You might find that you need a lot of money. Well, then the possibilities of getting loans and stuff are pretty good, but they call it syndication. Syndication is becoming very popular here, where you get a group of people. I know that there's property syndications all over the place, and
there's a new thing called crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding. Just tell what do you know about crowdfunding?
That's a wonderful concept.
It's great, eh?
There's many different platforms on the internet available. So what you do is you post your project. You tell people what you're going to do, how much you need, and then people start contributing to that.
I want to take over the world. Well, how much is that going to take? But how would you, now, I just listening to what you said, if I've got I've got ideas bursting out of my head, but I'm always scared because it's happened to me three times before. I blurted it out or told somebody, and then, you know, a year later, boink, there it is. Curses, I should have patent it or do whatever. So in a crowdfunding situation, do you have any idea of how you protect your idea?
That's a good question.
I think NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, are probably the closest thing that you could get. They seem to work pretty well.
And obviously a patent would help.
Yeah, but a patent is incredibly expensive.
It is quite expensive.
You know what? Maybe you and I should go crowdfunding for a way to help people patent their ideas, maybe online somehow. I mean, we have a record of this application, and I don't know. If we can crowdfund that.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I love that.
Everybody needs that.
Yes.
We all need
to protect. You must look at the customers. I think that's another a mistake many people do going into business. They ignore the customer. They don't look at what they want.
Yeah.
They don't satisfy their needs. And they say, you know, a customer is so powerful, they can fire the business. They can fire the CEO, the chairman, as well as the lowest level staff member by taking their money to another business.
You're absolutely right.
That's how they fire the business.
It's social media tools like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, which can, well, we've seen it in Northern Africa. It can bring down countries. It can bring down presidents. And companies who fail
to get them elected.
Or get them elected, exactly. So I think people, especially companies who fail to listen to their customers, even if it is through social media, and that's a topic that we're going to talk about in our next session, are missing the boat, because believe it or not, the customers actually make your business. And, you know?
Yeah. I recently took my car for a service. It's under guarantee and a motor plan. And they didn't do everything that I asked for. And I complained. Nothing was done about that. And a week later, I got a call from a market research company who the company appoints. And they asked me about my experience, and I told them exactly how I felt about the experience. And this is a week later, and I'm still waiting for a call.
Oh, no.
No, that is one of the big brands in the country. I don't know if I should mention them, but, you know, that is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
I complained. I've been driving their cars for many, many years. I'm a loyal customer. However, when I complain, they are quiet.
It's like nobody listens, eh?
They don't come back. No, and it's really a small thing.
I know.
It's just an irritation. When I picked up the car after having it there for 9 hours, they suggested maybe they can look at it now.
Mm.
I said, no, you've inconvenienced me already for 9 hours. You can come to my office tomorrow and fix it there.
Fix it there.
Needless to say, I'm still waiting.
No, I had a similar incident with cereal, but I had it opposite. Ended up getting 9 boxes of cereal. We got to take a break. We're back with a frozen system. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. As Keith says, Fred has decided to go on strike. Fred is our computer. We gave him the name Fred.
Fred? He's the one that has Uncle Murphy. That's the connection between those two.
Fred is an acronym.
Oh, okay.
It's a four-letter word. And he's
decided to red.
Yep. That's old Fred.
Okay. That's one of those things. Listen, Prof and I were talking about the names, and we were talking about sole partnership, sole proprietorship, sorry. And domain name... is very important. Just a little tip on domain names. First of all, when you think of a business, and let's use a bakery business, somewhere in that name, you need to have the word cake or cupcake or whatever it is. Something that it's got to be directly related. And the closer it is to the actual name of the product, that's the first thing. The second thing is location. There's two ways to cover that. In South Africa, we have this .co.za. And as of a month ago, there is now .Cape Town, .Joburg, .Durban, which means that if you're located into any one of those cities, you could have cupcakes. Your web address could be cupcakes at .Josie or .Joburg. So that would say... A, it would say to the consumer that you make cupcakes or baked goods, and Josie would represent, Joburg would represent the fact that you operate in Johannesburg. So those are important things to remember. The .co.za domain at the moment, some people are charging a little more, but you should not. It's about R100 to get that domain. When we say get the domain, that means you pay R100. That domain is yours for 1 year, 12 months. If you want to renew it again, keep on going, it's another R100. So it's an annual fee that you have to pay. Then what you need is hosting. Hosting means that you take that domain name and you put it onto a computer server, which could be anywhere in the world. And when someone clicks on cupcakes at Johannesburg, it goes to whatever server you picked, and then that's where your information will sit. So it's just wanted to give you a little tip on getting that domain, because it is your email, your business cards, everything is linked to that name. And you can add your Twitter and your Facebook and your LinkedIn accounts as well. If you wanted to contact Prof or I on that kind of thing, we'll be happy to help you. Mine is info@bizmixnetwork.co.za.
And mine is profgary@profgary.co.za.
Okay, and we're here to help. We are passionate about small businesses. We're having this kind of show because we want people to understand, excuse me, that, you know, there are easier ways to get going. And I think that's what's important. And Prof surprised me tonight with this thing about the sole proprietorship. And I think that's fantastic. We need to actually let more people know that they can do that type of thing. Anything else you want to add?
It's always good to plan a business and do a business plan. But be careful of planning too long. There's a thing called analysis paralysis. And planning is the same. If you plan too long, you get paralyzed. So do a bit of planning, but get out there, start selling, look at the customers, find unsatisfied needs, and satisfy those needs.
Mm.
And forget, doesn't have to be rocket science. Could be washing cars. I'm always amazed if just looking around how many cars are at the places where they wash cars.
Yeah.
So there's a big need for that.
Big need. And I think, so is that a good way to start? You look around and think, gee, what do these people need? I mean, I met a guy the other day. He sells these little plastic things, and they fit onto your piece on your dish, satellite dish. And you put this on the dish, and then you notice when it rains, you lose your TV program. Well, you put this little plastic piece on, and all of a sudden you don't. It doesn't go anymore.
It's so simple.
It's so simple. It's a little piece of plastic that's shaped like a T. It fits right onto that funny thing that comes out of your satellite dish. And when it rains, it's no problem. But normally, when the rain comes, you lose your television signal. So he saw a need, and you know, he went and built these things. So I think innovation and things like that are fantastic.
Yeah, I just recently read a story where Richard Branson, somebody asked him, where should I start? And where do I get an idea?
Which is a good question. A very good question.
It's always a good question.
Yeah.
And he was looking around and he said, I just saw outside, they've got these outside heaters. And you are from the UK, so why don't you, there's a lot of cold weather. And you could use something like that. And I've never seen something in the UK like that. The person actually went along, found out that she could actually get the distribution agency for the UK.
Wow.
For £3,000, yet she didn't do it. 5 years later, that business was sold for $25 million.
Ooh.
So it just shows you. You were saying earlier, you have ideas, but start implementing them.
Yeah.
Stop planning too much and just carry on.
Get in there. Just get in, your feet wet and all that kind of stuff. Prof, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and we're going to look forward because we're talking about social media next time, I think. Okay? And
just, yes, definitely.
Is it really worth it? Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. Thank you. Next week, we have Joe Berg Water on the Joe Berg Forum. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.